made a statement to one of all the guys that were there last night at the meeting we had done. I said, I want you to understand, male or female, no matter what your background is, if you've ever put the uniform on, stood the wall, I applaud you. Some guy said to me, well, he was in the Air Force. I said, brother, I really don't care. You stood the wall. Because you stood the wall, I honor you, and this nation honors you. But I'm an old knob vet, and not that that has anything in the world to do with what I'm going to share with you this morning, but in a manner of speaking, it does. Military are ingrained with certain aspects of honor, and especially in the beginning. Marine Corps is very, very astute in tradition. So when you go to a Marine Corps boot camp, you're not a Marine until you graduate. And just because you went there didn't make you a Marine. You have got to fulfill all the requirements, and you have to understand the tradition of the Marine Corps. You have to understand its birthday. You have to understand its heritage. You have to understand its generational. It's not single generational. It's not in the life and death of one man or one Marine, but life and death of a nation. And so they're dedicated to the survival and the prosperity of this nation. And I believe all the military is. And I applaud that. I really do. I mean, I've seen, though I was only in the Corps for a couple of years, I blowed up pretty bad in Vietnam, came home and they kicked me to the curb. I've never lost my heart. Never lost my heart for the Corps, never lost my heart for this nation. Done a lot of things I wish I hadn't have done. Didn't do things that I should have done. But the amazing thing about God is that the Lord doesn't hold your past against you. Amen? Sometimes we as human beings have a hard time letting go things that have been done to us. I have a book on the back table. It's called Overcoming Betrayal, but it's really not about betrayal. That's just the example I use. The book is really about overcoming. And Brother Kelly made a statement to me. He said, Ron, I want you to know something. He said, that's the best book I've ever read in my life in relationship to what it takes to overcome your adversary. So I want to encourage you to pick one up before you go. It will change your dimension about what you go through. Too many times in our life, we go through struggles. We, as men and women, we don't necessarily understand each other. Amen? Come on. I mean, all the ladies can say amen. My husband doesn't understand me. Well, that's why God said, don't say amen because that means so be it. See there, you get yourself in trouble. But you can just say, that's right. See, that's a whole lot better, amen, than saying amen. Because even if he isn't an idiot, if you say amen, he's liable to end up being one. So try to stay away from that if you can. But here's a valuable instrument of learning. Every woman, you know, when you were a little girl, 12 years old, 11 years old, 12 years old, 13, 14, somewhere in there, you know, your body begins to change, and what they call the seed of life begins to, not the seed of life, but the egg begins to function, and you can conceive a child. Same thing with a boy, you know, around 11, 12, 13, 14 years old, something like that. His seed comes alive. It's really the area of life that I teach of responsibility. A lot of people call it manhood. It's really before manhood comes responsibility. You know, you come out of childhood. I made a statement to the guys last night. I said, you know, about 90 to 95% of the body of Christ. And again, I've been doing this for over 40 years, so I have some degree of measure. And that's around the world. It's not just in this country, but around the world. I would say 90 to 95% of the church, or what we consider to be the church, conduct themselves at best as children. They're selfish, self-centered, self-willed, self-identification, kind of like an orphan. You know, we've been adopted. Say adopted. Okay, you've been bought with a price. Your life is not your own. It's what God says. And you've been adopted. But let me tell you something. Adoption is not sonship. Hello? Adoption just means you have access. And what it takes in the process of life, what it takes is learning how to stop being a child and sucking your thumb and acting like some kind of moron, because that's what we do when we're children. You know, it's like I made a statement again, not trying to rehash what I said last night, but it seems like to me, children always want to change the rule. You know, if it's my basketball or my football, my baseball, my tennis racket, whatever it is, I'm going to change the rules to benefit me. And so it doesn't make any difference if we're going to play basketball or football, baseball, whatever, or we're going to play with dolls or tanks or whatever. We're going to change the rules so I can beat you. Amen? That's childish. See, a grown, mature man or woman understand that the battle is not in the winning. The battle is in long term. You know, otherwise, all we do is fight one battle and quit. Now, that's what this country has ended up in being. You know, it's lost its heart. It's lost its passion. Not that I'm a real war-hungry guy. I'm not. I'm a peaceful man, a man of God, a man that cries out, Lord, let the war be over. But if it's going to be, then I'm going to win the war. I'm not going to stand around scratching my head and saying, oh, gee, I don't like the way the game's played. Let's change the game. Let's negotiate our way out of this. Hello, come on, somebody. Do you understand in the history of the United States, up until Korea, the United States never negotiated with an enemy, never, over anything? I mean, you can go back to the war between England and the United States, you know, War of Independence. You understand that we never negotiated with our enemy, ever. You know, now we say we won't, but every time we turn around, we do. Hello. You look at Korea had the 39th parallel, and it's still negotiated today. It's negotiated cease of war or cease of battle, but it doesn't mean that we aren't at war with one another. We still are. Hello? Why? Because some bureaucratic idiot got involved and said, you know, we got to find a way to stop spending money. Now, this isn't about battling money, whatever. Matter of fact, I want you to turn your Bible with me to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy in the second chapter. And we'll look at how God sees the assignment, if you will, the op of the church. We have a operations manual, which is the Word of God, on how we should conduct ourselves and how we should wage war. Our war is not humans. We don't battle against flesh and blood. My battle is not you. It's not some guy in some other nation. My battle isn't against this segment of population or that segment of population. My battle is against the one that God makes battle with. Come on, somebody. Now, you can say, man, ain't going to nobody throw you out. I may throw you out if you don't. No, I won't. I won't. Just kidding. That's like a joke, you know. How are we doing over there, baby? I mean, are we doing okay? You drawing a picture of war or something? God, how did she set like that? All that. I mean, you've been there for like an hour and a half. That's incredible. Are you okay? Okay. I just didn't want to have to pray healing over you. I mean, be all right with me. I don't mind doing that. I mean, that's what we're here for. But I'd like you not to be where you need healing just because you've been sitting there and not been able to move. It says, you therefore, second chapter, you therefore, verse 1 says, you therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. Now, I want you to understand this real quick. I need you, Anthony, I need you to come up here. And I need a little lady. Sister Bonnie, come here. Now, I'm going to give you an example, a physical example of understanding the difference between grace and mercy. Now, come here, sis. Sister, help me your name.
Bonnie Sue.
Mm-hmm. Miss Bonnie is going to represent us as people of God, okay? We're just human beings. And this is, I mean, I use that because she's not really a frail, you know, she's a lady, but she's not a frail lady. You know what I'm saying? So she got heart, character, and all that kind of stuff, but she's a woman. Amen? Now, are you with me? All right. Now, I could stand men up here, too, but if I did, you guys would get embarrassed, and he didn't tell me I was strong. You know. But now, Brother Anthony is, the Bible says, above all things, God is just. Amen? And his justice is right. So at the end of this whole deal, whatever we're doing, at the end of the story, God will bring all of us before the judgment seat. Are you with me? Now, we that have walked with the Lord, you're not going to face the judgment seat of sin, but you're going to face a judgment seat of character. Okay, I'm just paraphrasing a little bit. But so above all things, what God has done is him in his nature is coming after you. All right? And what he's going to do is he's going to tell all of creation, all that has been, is now, or ever will be, he's telling all of it, I am a just God. And so he's coming after us. Amen? Do you understand? He's coming after church without spot, wrinkle, blemish, any such thing. He's coming after a victorious church, not some crippled up, laid up, laid down, low life, scum-sucking dog that can't get out of his own way. That's vernacular you understand, isn't it, son? Yeah. Well, it was a sergeant when he was in the what was it in?
Army.
Oh, that's it. I got to mess with, he started it. I came into town all, you know, being cool and nothing, no saying nothing about the Army, Marine, nothing, you know, and he started getting in my grill. And I said, brother, don't kick this dog. I'm telling you, you don't want to wake this puppy up because I'm going to be on you like white on rice, Jack. So, but he wouldn't leave it alone. He kept kicking on me, and then now he's getting stuff back. So you're a recipient of that, amen?
Yeah.
But you're all right, man. You're just, you know, sergeant guy. What, you're a platoon leader?
Yeah, I was platoon sergeant.
Platoon, oh, excuse me.
Marines.
Yeah. Everybody in the Marines, brother, does everything.
Yeah, yeah.
You understand? We don't have to have a platoon sergeant. Excuse me. A Lance Corporal is the same in recon as a right. Sergeant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay.
You good, Antoine?
I'm fine. Hey, come on, brother. Don't be talking to him about it. He, you know, he has to go do some things in the Air Force just to give them guys a little break. You know? Isn't that right, Antron? Come on.
Airborne.
Air whatever. Anyway, isn't that some kind of medicine you're supposed to take? Air, no. But anyway, God is coming after us. Now, in the journey, before God gets to you, he instituted something called the mercy seat. Are you with me? So if you would, my brother, come here. Can you come here for just a minute? I'm sorry. I shouldn't. Okay. All right. Well, he's not supposed to be tough here. This is supposed to be just consistent. Well, he's probably a tough, consistent guy. Now, the Bible says, above all things, God is just. But God instituted, could turn around, face the justice. Face Antron, or Anthony, I'm sorry. And now what's your name, sir?
Rick.
Rick. What Rick's going to do is Rick's going to put your hands on his shoulders. And then any time that Anthony's trying to get to Sister Bonnie, wherever he goes, you go. So if you try to come this way, you just move with him. You know, it's kind of like head and heel a horse. And if he moves that way, you move with him. The reason is because mercy holds back judgment. Come on, somebody. Now, the reason mercy holds back judgment, where's the blood placed? Upon the what? Upon the what? Come on, you act like a bunch of Baptists. Excuse me, I'm sorry. Forgive me. You're acting like a bunch of Pentecostals. whatever. Anyway, but mercy holds back judgment. All right? Are you with me? Now, my brother, forgive me. God, I have terrible name. Yeah, sometimes I can't remember my own name, Randy, so don't get mad. But Randy is, we're going to call him, here's mercy, and mercy holds back judgment, and we're going to call Randy the work of grace. Now, work of grace is not unmerited favor. It is. I mean, that's kind of a Mickey Mouse definition to the word grace. But grace is God's enablement. He enables you to what? Become a son. Are you with me? Male or female, I don't even want to go there. You know, how can women be sons? You're supposed to be a son in a woman's body, just like he's supposed to be the bride. Hello, does that compute with you?
Yeah.
It does? Don't compute with me, brother. I mean, I know certain things about my wife. Son. Anyway, so I've had to learn, you know. Randy and I are probably in the process of learning how to be brides. It's a little challenge, but it's okay. And so I'm sympathetic for the women that have to learn how to be a son. Where are you going? You're supposed to. Now, see, the minute you look away, man, I mean, he's going to get to her. Okay? So what God does is God is faithful. Amen? Come on, somebody. He's faithful to place his blood upon the eternal mercy seat to hold back judgment so that grace can enable Sister Bonnie to become what? To become like Christ. Become Christ himself. Are you with me? What we are to do is represent the Son and reveal the Father. That's what we're supposed to do. Now, so eventually what's going to happen is mercy is going to step aside. See, eventually it will step aside. Grace will have enabled her to withstand the judgment of God, and all judgment will see is the Son. Do you understand me? Now, the difference, guys, is this cheap mercy and grace that we keep walking up. Some guy on television is doing this thing about grace. And it's like you could just do whatever. You could be a moron. You could be whatever. And grace of God loves you. You know, I hate to break, you know. But, I mean, if that's true, then every sacrifice of every man and every woman ever walked with God is a stinking lie. That all the testimonies of those that have stood in the gap and wouldn't quit, wouldn't back up, wouldn't throw their hands up and say, I'm done, I can't handle it anymore. Now, a lot of us do that. There have been times in my life that I wanted to quit. Thank you, guys. Thank you so very much. Amen? But let me tell you something. Even when I want to quit, even when I want to say, you know, I've had enough. I'm done, man. I've been wounded enough. I've been beat up enough. I just can't take anymore. As soon as I get whining, sniveling, crying about it, God says, wait a minute. Do you love me? Well, yes, sir, I do. But shut your mouth and get up and take care of business. Well, wait a minute, Lord, you're not married to my wife. I just got done telling you how wonderful she is. But the reason I know she's wonderful is because I've got something to compare it to. And the compare it to is that she hadn't always been wonderful. Everybody look at me and say, well, Rhonda Preach, you're no good. You're a bum. You know, after I come out of the Corps, on the streets of the United States, I ended up killing 5 men by the time I was 26 years old. Ain't no hero here. I'm no man of great honor. I allowed what the Corps did to me, at least in my perception, I allowed it to steal my heart. Hello? Until the man called Jesus came into my life. And when he did, all of a sudden the perspective of what is right and what is wrong began to change, began to shift. And it was no longer what was right in my own eye, but it was what was right in my Father's eye. It was no longer how I perceived it, but how he did. So when I read the scripture in 2 Timothy 2, it goes on to say, things which you have heard from me, entrust to these things to faithful men who will be able to teach others also. Suffer hardship with me as a good soldier of Christ Jesus. You see, God deals with two basic things. a soldier, and a good man. They come to Jesus and they say, a good master. And he looks at him, he said, why do you call me good? For there's none good but God. Well, the guy didn't answer the question, but let me tell you what the answer is. The reason that they could call him good is because he revealed the Father. Now, the statement I want to ask you, the question I want to ask you is, how do we reveal the Father? Here's, I use the example of husbands and wives. Here's a truth about us. Every woman, as I said earlier, you know, you build a dream in your mind of what Mr. Wright's going to be. You know, you're 12, 11, 12, 13 years old. You build this picture of who he's going to be. You know, how tall, what color hair, amen? Is he going to have hair, no hair, whatever? I can promise you, no woman stands up and says, just dream of Rhonda Priest. I mean, I've looked at myself in the mirror. And it's no longer a dream. There was a time when I was a dream, but now I'm a nightmare. Only kidding. I'm going to throw water on you in about 5 seconds. But the truth is, woman has a dream in her mind. And then she turns 15, 16, 17, 18, 20. You feeling okay, sis? Good deal. And all of a sudden, she begins to look from the crop of men that she can choose from, and there ain't nobody out there like what she dreamed about. You know, there's some are a little bit taller and shorter, whatever, but there's always a flaw. There's always some 1, 2, 3, 4 things, 5, 6, so, but usually just a couple, really. A woman will see her husband-to-be as he's got 1, 2, 3 problems, maybe, that's about it. And you know, ladies, that you can fix it. Come on. Every woman knows whatever's wrong with the man that she's chose, she can fix him because she loves him. Come on now. I mean, you know, the man's like a dog in heat. He don't pay no attention to nothing. He just... I love you, baby. I love you. I love you, baby. You know, and she's standing over there going, oh, God, you know, here comes another one. Now, I'm just being real with you. If you guys are looking for a religious thing, you should have went to some other place. Are you okay, Brother Mike? You may not recover from this. I'm not sure. You know, some guys think, they wonder why I haven't been here sooner. He said, Lord God, I'm... Anyway, sorry, Brother John will be here later next year, and he'll come straighten it out, whatever. But hear my heart in this. That's always what we say for what words we spoke. Hear my heart. You know, my words really don't mean anything anyway, so just hear my heart. But women draw this picture, and they know, hey, whatever's wrong, you know, they tell Mom, I love him, and I can fix it. And she's sitting there going, honey, you can't fix it. I married it, and I couldn't fix it. That's your daddy. Oh, but Mom, I love him. Well, honey, I love your daddy, but, yeah, but Mom, I love him different. Really? Okay. And then there's the man. And the man believes when he is courting the girl and, you know, or whatever, he's not just like a, it's kind of crude, I guess, the heat thing. He also doesn't want her to change. Now, see, when Anthony started courting you, he said, man, that's her. She's absolutely gorgeous, just beautiful lady, which you are, and just perfect. She's exactly the woman I want to marry, right? Huh? Don't lie to me, Army. That's true. Am I right here? Come on now. You better say I'm right, because if you don't, brother, you're going to get real hard when you get home. And so you better be sitting there going, hey, Marine, I'm with you. Anyway, so she's like everything that he's ever thought about and more. And then he gets married to her. Now, you know this as well as I do. Every woman, the minute you put the ring on her hand, she changed. She's not the woman you've been courting her and all, and she's changed. You know, hello. Now, how do we know? Because you find out things about her that you never did. I'll give you, Miss Minnie, I could be an example. Can I use your baby? I normally do. I married Minnie, and she's always had, you know, long hair, and she's always had kind of curly, wavy. Really, she used to wear hair like in a gypsy and just drive me crazy. I just loved it, you know what I mean? Oh, come on, woman, I'd come home from a hard day at work. Well, I never worked hard in my life, but whatever. I'd come home and you looking good, baby. I mean, talk to me, somebody. But then one night we were just got married and we were living in a little trailer. And I'm a lot smaller now. Well, no, I'm not. I'm 1 pound heavier right now than I was when we got married. I was 219. I was 220 this morning. Anyway. But I was a bigger guy. Yeah, I had a few problems since then. But anyway, so I'm a little bit smaller guy. At least in some places. Listen, I got to get you laughing, because if you don't, you're really going to be mad at me by the time we get out of here. So, anyway, we're laying, and it's dark, and the bedroom was so small that when you sit down on the bed and you try to undo your shoes, shut the door, bam, man, I hit my head. I'm going, God, I couldn't even untie my boots. I'm thinking, what kind of Mickey Mouse deal is this? It was an 8x35 trailer. You know, that was no extra bedroom. There wasn't extra nothing. There wasn't even extra dishes. Nobody was allowed over to the house. I mean, you couldn't, because you couldn't never sit no place, you know, just her, me, and we didn't even have a dog, did we? We didn't have a dog that time. Anyway, so we're laying down one night, right after getting married, and it's early, and sometime it's dark, it's early in the morning, and Minnie rolls over. Well, when she rolls over, she got her hair in these curler things, and back then they were things they were rollers, but they had metal. You know, now they got like plastic things that roll them up and it don't really bother you much. But she, you ladies know what I'm talking about. She rolls over and one of them metal things stuck me in the arm. Now, it wasn't like being cut, but it did shock me out of sleep. You know, oh, be a witty and die. And I realized it's my wife, and I kind of turned the light on and she got this stuff in her hair. What is that, man? I never seen that. We never went out on no date with them stuff in her hair. You know, one night, I woke up one night and her whole face was like white. I'm going, my God, what's that? She goes, honey, that's a cream. I said, man, are you a zombie or what? What is that? That was before they had the apocalypse, the zombie. Come on, man, some of you guys laugh. Jesus, this is really good stuff. You're hard on me here. The reason I do that, listen, I can tell you everything I got to say in about 10 minutes, but there wouldn't be nothing here but hair, teeth, and eyeballs, and you'd all be wanting to curse me. So I take 45 minutes to tell you something that just don't take very long. Why? Because you get mad. How do I know? They've gotten mad for 40 years. That's how I know. So anyway, what you find out is the woman that you married is not really the one that you're sleeping with. It's a different woman. Hello? And whatever's wrong with you, she's going to fix it. Now here, ladies, every woman in this room knows this. You have a better idea than him. I don't care what he comes up with. Anthony says, well, we're going to go this way. And she goes, yeah, well, we got to go that way first. Hello. Any man ever been confronted with his wife that knows more than he does? Even if she don't, she's going to convince you that she does. And so whatever idea you come up with, just let it be subject to the fact she's going to change it. Well, this is a tough crowd. Even the Marines, hoorah, you know, they're a little bit something. They may not say amen, but they'll go, oh my. Where was I at? Let me read something. Whenever I get in trouble, read something. No soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life so that he may please the one who enlisted him as a soldier. See, the problem with walking with God is we're trying to please the wrong one. The problem with trying to become sons and daughters is we're trying to get people to accept us instead of the one that created us. Hello. When you begin to understand that the one you have got to please, the only way you're going to ever please her, the only way you're going to ever make her happy, the only way you're ever going to fix him is fall in love with God. Matter of fact, if you'll read the, how many of you ever read 1 Corinthians 13th chapter? It's called the love chapter. I mean, everybody knows love, 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 love. Love believes all things, hopes all things, endures all things, never does this, it don't believe, you know, it does all these wonderful things. Well, right down there, as you kind of read, all of a sudden there's one little verse that says, when I was a child, I spoke as a child, understood and reasoned as a child, but when I became a man, I put away childish things. The way you stop being a child and you become a man in preparation for being a son is you have to stop walking like a child. You have to pick up the steps of responsibility. When your wife doesn't do what you want her to do, the Bible doesn't tell a woman to do this. It does tell a man. It says, husbands, live with your wife in an understanding way. Now, I'll tell you, one guy that's been married almost 45 years. How many of you understand your wife? Very good. Smart move, man. Even Anthony didn't raise his hand. The fact is, you can't understand her. Why? Women are wired different. You know, it's not just the book. Men are from Mars and women are from Venus, right? Is that what it is? Not just because it's in a book. But the fact is, men don't think like women. Women don't think like men. And you can go all the psychiatrists and all the negotiators. You can do all kinds of things. Listen, I finally learned how to read and write enough, got a bachelor's in ministry. I have a master's in psychology and a doctorate in theology from Fuller Theological Seminary. So I'm fairly well educated, okay? But I can promise you, no matter how much education you get, you are not, as a man, going to understand a woman, even if God commands you, unless you're willing to do one thing. And that is be manly. Now, being manly isn't beating your chest and act like a fool, like you're some kind of boss. I'm the man. Really? No, you're an idiot. Why? Because your wife don't need you to act like King Kong sitting there beating your chest. Hello? Swing. What she needs is she needs... What do you say? What do you say? Are you gorilla biscuit eating dude, man? Okay, Army, here we go. I'm coming back over after Anthony. Husband, live with your wife and understand. The only way you're going to be able to do that is you've got to be able to see her through the eyes of the Father. You hearing me, Anthony? Are you playing with your toy? Yeah? Is it helping you? Really? So does it pick up audible notes, or do you have to write them in there? You write them. See? There you go. Why? Why does a woman have to write it in there? I'm married to one. Why? Because we're lazy. Men are lazy. Come on. Let me tell you something. Men would rather work a job, work like a dog, then love their wife at their expense. Oh, you didn't hear what I said. I said men would rather work a job, never come home, work daylight to dark, and get home late, and complain about the food, and complain about this, complain about that, and run their mouth about this, and run, then rather than to love their wife, yet God said, husband, love your wife as Christ loved the church and gave himself up for her. Gave himself up. What is it for a man to love a woman? What is it for a man to love his wife except that you learn how to lose your life for her sake? How about this? Every woman married to a man married the man that would set her free to her destiny. Not set her free to wash your clothes, cook your food. Hello, come on, somebody. But we think it's about do for me because I'm the man. Really? Why don't you show yourself to be a man and be what? Be responsible. When your yea is yea and your nay is nay. When you count the cost before you open your mouth. Oh, now, Brother Ron, you could say this a whole lot gentler. Wouldn't be so offensive. Right now you're hurting me. Come on, Army, get over it. Ooh-ah. Do you want me to read any more? I'm about done. I'm about out of time. Do you want me to read any more or quit? Somebody give me a minute? Somebody, okay, give me two. Can you give me three? Three? Okay, I got 10. Somebody give me 15. Somebody give me 15. I got 20. Somebody give me 20. I got 20. I got 20. I got 25. Come on. Somebody give me another hour and we're done. Sold, my brother. Go ahead. God, I might have to go home and take a nap. Do you know that I'm wearing Levi's the first time I've ever wore Levi's in a pulpit in my life? It's that, you know, that you free. God help me. I'm sorry. I just repent, Lord Jesus. What am I repenting for? I'm only kidding. I'm just, come on, I'm having fun. Lord God, somebody asked me one day, said, Brother Ron, are you going to pastor another church? I founded 12 churches in the United States, two in Canada, one in Mexico. And they asked me, said, well, are you going to start another church? I said, do you think anybody would come? I said, you know, it's always nice when I come in and preach and then I leave and everybody goes, praise God, he's gone. But no soldier in active service entangles himself in the affairs of everyday life. Also, if anyone competes as an athlete, he does not win the prize unless he competes according to the rules. Well, see, there's a way that seemeth right unto a man, and the end is therefore the way of death. Now, that's not man, it is mankind. There's a way that seems right unto mankind, unto creation that's fallen from grace, fallen from relationship. There's a way that seems right to him, but the end is death. The reason it's him, her, the reason is because it's not according to the rules. Not laws. Rules are just parameters. You know, it's like gravity. There's the rule of gravity. You go get up on the top of this building, stand on the peak, and jump off. You'll find yourself hitting the ground. Hello. And you can stand up there and confess from now until Jesus comes back. I'm going to fly. Blam! Well, I still believe I'm going to fly. Climb back up there and do it again. You may not have legs. Come on. But you see, when you compete in life, in other words, when you begin to find out what God is calling you to do, well, let's get simple. You are all called to be sons. Everybody. You're not called to be infants. You're not called to be children, to babies. You're not called to be children. You're called to be sons. You're not even called to be men and women. You're called to be sons. Now, sons have an inheritance. Do you understand? It's not just what you have as far as your possession. It is an identity. The problem with the church is it doesn't have an identity. Does that make sense to anybody? See, for years and years and years, the church has built itself on gifts and talents, but not on character. So we're more interested in what gift do you have? What talent can you bring to the table? Honey, what's your name, baby? What is it? I'm about half deaf, you know, it's a Marine Corps thing. Brooks? Man, is your last name Shields? No. You're pretty as a peach, but let me tell you something. What you got more than that, you got a voice like seldom have I heard. And I used to sing. Well, old guys don't sing, you know, I'm not Perry Como or what's the other guy? Italian guy. Not Dean Martin, Jesus. Dean Martin's dead. Tony Bennett, yeah. Hey, gumbare. I'm Italian, so, you know, or part Italian. But the point is, as wonderful as your talent is, when I sit here watching you, your talent, your gift is, I'd virtually say, beyond a measure of rule. It's beyond a way to measure it. The reason it is because of the passion in your heart. Because it's not an issue of your head, it's an issue of your heart. When I heard you kind of singing a little bit, started a song at the house, I heard passion roar from you like a lion. You ever seen that, what they call Lion King deal? When all that movie's going on and all of a sudden this big male lion comes out and he roars. I mean, it silenced nature. Are you with me? That's what you were like. Like a lion who silences nature. Sometimes you don't see yourself as God sees you. You see yourself by what people say about you. Hello? And now I'm going to tell you what you got. You got a major problem, and that is an identity. Amen? Now, I'm not saying that to hurt you. I'm saying that to help you. Now, the boss, are people that will give you an identity. That you're valuable. That you're not just a gift, not just a talent, not just another pretty face. But you have a value in you that far surpasses what nature says about you. Amen? Come on, are you hearing me? See, when you begin to understand, like I'm sitting right here and you pastors, I was sitting there praying. I said, Lord, now, I knew you were coming, one of you anyway. And I said, Lord, what are you saying? I mean, I know this man's tired. He probably ministered this morning. He may have to go home and do some more. But why are they here? And the Father began to speak to me this word about both of you and your wives. You have plowed in other fields and had to plow rocks up. And the Father says, I'm going to set you a plow this day that there'll be no more rocks. So what you've plowed with, the energy, the passion, the steadfastness that you've plowed in the past, the reward now is that you'll no longer plow in rocks. And the dream of your heart, the cry of your heart is to raise up generations better than you, greater than you, more dimensionally than you. The Father says, I'm going to give you the cry of your heart. And that's for you ladies, too. Now, I'm not a prophet. I don't know what I am. I'm whatever I am. You know, John Kelly, I told Brother Mike this. John Kelly walked by me one day, and I was writing the book, The Spiritual Mentor, which is not about mentoring at all. It's about fathering. what it takes to be a man or a woman who will carry the heart of the Father. According to Malachi 4, or Malachi 4, good Italian boy, it said, in the last days, I'm going to restore the hearts of the fathers to the sons and daughters. And I'm going to restore the hearts of the sons and daughters back to the fathers. We are barely cresting. We're barely touching that, frankly, in my opinion. Now I'm going to be 68 here just 3 days before we've been married 45 years. I'm going to be 68. And I think most of you know this, but I've had a heart attack pretty severe. Last year I was dead twice, and then last time they sent me home on hospice to die. And we didn't die. And I told the guys last night, God gave me faith to die once. And about 2 weeks ago in Pennsylvania, God said, I'm going to give you faith now to live. And I want you to know this from my heart, that I know that there's destiny in this house. That there's not just a gathering of people, but that all of you, not some of you, all of you, from the youngest boy or girl to the oldest in this room, the Father has in mind for you to change the dimension generationally. Do you understand what I mean by that? The only way in the world we're ever going to see the fathers come is for the fatherless to become fathers. I was at a men's meeting. I do those quite often. And I told these men, I asked them a question. I said, how many of you have a father? You know, some of them raised their hand. I said, I'm talking about a spiritual father. How many of you have? One person raised their hand. And I said, how many of you want a spiritual father? And they just all raised their hand, just all over the room, about 200, 300 guys. And I said, well, you know how you're going to become, you know how you're going to get a father in your life? And they all looked at me kind of dazed, and I said, the only way you're going to get one is become one. Whether you're a man or a woman, what you don't have is what you must become so that others will have it. The greatest in the kingdom is not a ruler. Oh, my goodness, I'm over. The greatest in the kingdom is a servant. And here's the truth about an apostle. The Bible says, if you want to be first, you must be last. In Matthew 20:20, same place it says, greatest to be servant. But it really doesn't mean last in position. It means if you want to be first, you're going to be a slave. It's amazing that God would lead us from bondage to slavery. But see, slavery in the kingdom is not slavery in man. Slavery in the kingdom is freedom. Amen. I'm telling you that because it's not faith to live, it's faith to be free. When you sang the song on freedom, I like to come out of my shoes. Because what the Father wants for us is to be what we've never had. What He wants us to do is do what we've never seen done. So I challenge you this morning, and I'm going to close with this. Don't get entangled in the cares and the affairs of this world. I know you got a job and you got a house and you got things you got to take care of, children. Don't get caught in the cares and the affairs of this life. Don't get caught trying to fix everything with everybody else. Let God fix you. Amen. When you find something that offends you, fix it in you, and it'll never bother you again. When your wife doesn't want to do what you want her to do, fix you. Don't fix her. Hello. Now, young man, you're going to Texas, where I live. And then you're going to go to Louisiana. where you're going to be in Baton Rouge is just a little ways away from one of my sons outside of Alexandria, Louisiana. And Louisiana folk, I don't know if you've been around there, if that's where you're from or whatever, where she's from. But let me tell you something about Louisiana people. There are people that wonder about that. Hello, you understand what I'm saying? The New Orleans Saints have a statement. Who dat? Isn't that how it goes? Who dat? What they're saying is really, what's life about? And you can go there with destiny in your... I love everything that was spoke about you, both of you as a couple. Wonderful. But let me tell you, you've got challenges ahead of you, and you're going to find out your manhood. You're going to find out what kind of man you are. And you can either be a man that loves that woman at your expense, or you can be another dictatorial moron that doesn't know anything about anything. You got the choice. Amen? I applaud you, son. I want you to walk like a man. Walk upright. Now, you're going to have access to me through Brother Mike. If I can ever help you, you call him, and then I'll find a way to help you. I don't violate the seated one in the house. But I want you to understand, there is resources out there to help you. You've got a journey ahead of you. And it's going to check out your manhood. Learn how to become a lover, not a chest beater. Does that make sense, church? Come on, somebody. Does this help you guys at all? Understand, if I cannot give you anything more than learn as a man how to love your wife at your expense, it's all worth it. If I can't get you to understand anything more than this, women, believe in your man even if he acts like a jerk. Believe in him. Stand with him. My wife has stood beside me. She stood with me. When she should have ran, she didn't run. She believed in me when nobody came to my side. She stood with me and would not run. When she had every right on the world, in the earth, to say, you know, I've had enough. My husband, who talks a big thing about bravery, has become a coward. You know, the thing you fear the most has come upon you. Thing I fear the most in my life is to become a coward. And I found myself to be one. I would run away from the fight because I was so tired. I couldn't fight no more. And many said, honey, I believe in you. And it made me get up one more time. So I can tell you today, without question, I know what it is to war the war of warfare and not be a coward. Amen? So let me finish with this. Freedom is not just a word. It is an assignment from God. What the Father has for you is your purpose and your destiny. You're not an accident. You're not out of time. You're right on time. You're not a generation later than you should have been, or earlier than you should have been. You're right on time. Amen? Can you hear what I'm saying? You're right on time. So as they say in the Army, be all you can be. Be a Marine. No, be. I had to just do that. Would you put your hand over your heart one more time and say with this with me, Father, I stand before you and before you alone. Master, I believe you for a miracle. Let me be all that you created me to be. Father, let me find my assignment. And Father, let me function in it. Let me become what I have always needed. Let me become a servant to those who need. Father, I believe you for a miracle. I believe you it'll take a miracle. But I serve the God of miracles. In Jesus' name. Everybody said? Everybody said? Everybody said?